Wow, you guys look great. Well, as you make your way back to your seats, everybody, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. So do me a favor. Could you just turn to your neighbor and just tell him, man, it is a good day to be here. Come on, tell somebody. Maybe you got to speak in faith. That's all right, too. No, we're glad to see everybody today. It is going to be an amazing day. First service was just wonderful. And as we get started today, I want to, not get started. We've been having church the whole time. Just the second part is, I want to remind you just of a couple of things. Number one is that right outside as you leave today, we are having our enrollment for the next school year for our Three Oaks Academy. It's our tutorial enrichment program that comes alongside homeschool students. And I want you to understand how important this is to us. So it's two things to hit on this note. Number one, we need to be in prayer for all of our teachers who are in the public school system. Let me tell you why, and here's what I sincerely believe. They are on the front lines of the mission field. As Christian teachers, they're doing everything they can to stand and be who they're supposed to be and help these children, but they're fighting a serious battle. So be praying for them. The other thing is this, you know, this week is the election cycle for the school board, for a bunch of things. Listen, church, get engaged. Don't blow it off. I could preach a sermon on this, okay? Do not blow it off. Your children matter. We need to make sure that we're doing the right thing. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure about all the candidates. We don't know the candidates. We know. We will help you. We will explain things to you so that you can make your decision with wisdom. So, don't sit back. That's all I'm going to say, because if you sit back and don't do something, do not complain. But now that's a whole nother. See, I'll go off on a tangent. Sorry. Now, here's the other thing is when you ask about the academy, and we get that question a lot, the reason that we started the academy was because we saw the need of so many parents who were pulling their children out of the school system, out of the public school system. And they wanted to take control of their children's education. Bravo. Now, one of the things we realized is that parents need help, because that's a big deal. So in that, Three Oaks Academy was birthed. Originally, we were going to start after the new building was completed, but the need was so great, we said, we just need to start. I remember Tawana coming in and said, honey, I feel like the Lord is saying we need to start right now. And we did. And it's been amazing. It's amazing. So I just want you to know how important that is to us. As a matter of fact, we are hoping to increase our students this year. And by the end of the year, we're hoping to be done with the new building that's getting started over there that will house our kids' churches, our kids' educational building, our youth, all that will be housed over there. And in the week, it'll be the academy. We are excited about that. But it's important. So if you have questions about that or want to investigate getting your child enrolled, then stop out at the table on your way out today and make sure you talk to Tawana or Kimberly, and they will answer all the questions that you can have. They're two of the smartest people I know. I know they can help you. So anyway, that's what I wanted to jump into and just help you understand that. The next thing is we have a problem, everybody. And you said, Pastor, what's the problem? Well, our church is experiencing some really amazing growth. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And we're in two services. And somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, when are we going to do three services? And I'm like going, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Satan, get thee behind. No, I'm kidding. But in truth, I need your help. You know, we're hitting one of the growth seasons in the church, as always, and this service begins to get really, really crowded, okay? So I would love for some of you energetic, spirit-filled folks to jump in and come to the early service. Get up, shake it off, and say, I'm it. It's 8:30. I'm coming to shout in the house of the Lord, and I'm making room for somebody else. So if you could do that, if you've been playing and toying with that, I would love to see you do that so that we make room for new folks. And I am just blown away by how good God is. They told me as I came in, they said, Pastor, we're out of parking spaces. I said, well, praise God. Great problem to have, but at the same time, it is still a problem. So anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for that. So I'm going to jump right into the message today. And this month, as we lead into Easter, can you believe it's March? It is March. We've got Palm Sunday and Easter right around the corner, everybody. I can't believe it. I'm excited because it gets warm. You know, I'm like, yes, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for today's temps. But as I'm talking about Easter, what we realize is this is a journey. And what I want to take you on through this month is a journey with Jesus. Some of his formational times, you know, some of the, what made him understand, how did he take the steps that he took knowing that the end of this was going to be very painful, and to know that he had to complete his mission in order to complete the sacrifice that had to be made for all of us. How did that happen? So there's some things I want to talk about through this month that are going to be very challenging. And I want to give you just a little pre-look into what's coming as on the Sunday after Easter as we go into the next series. And it's going to be called Faith in America. So if you are soft on your biblical morality, I'm probably going to offend you next month. So I'll be nice to you this month. But it's going to be some challenging things that we talk about. So I really wanted to step into this thought about Jesus in this journey of life. Because the one thing that we know is that he's our example, nobody else. He's our example, our chief example in life. How did he do this? But the first thing I wanted to talk about this week was this idea of a forgotten Jesus. A forgotten Jesus. Now, let me rephrase that before we open our Bible and read. Because I believe one of the chief things that is affecting believers, and I'm not talking about people that don't know Jesus, or I'm talking about believers in Christ, is this concept that I'm going to share with you today of a forgotten Jesus, a forgotten faith, a forgotten commitment, a forgotten understanding. So today, as we jump in, this is a fascinating, fascinating passage of Scripture, and there's so much to teach out of it. We don't have time to do all of it, but what I do want to do is just read the entire passage. So if you would, stand to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together, and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be on the screen. But I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I love to hear the rustling of pages in the house. I love that. But sometimes that rustling of pages has been the rustling of swipe. You know, it's like swipe, swipe, swipe. To Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. Talking of Jesus, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem as they returned. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And we sum it up with his answer in verse 49. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Wow, there's some powerful lessons here, and we're going to discover one of them today. Let's pray. Father, today, for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us clearly through your word. Lord, we are so grateful for your guidance. We're so grateful for this seed of your word that's being sown into each of our hearts. I pray, God, that it would find fertile soil in all of us. And as always, I pray, God, that it would bring back a harvest of good in all of our lives. Father, I pray this as well, that God, you would convict our hearts of the places, the areas of our lives where we are falling short, where we're not meeting the mark. And Father, I ask that you would convict us today. Show us, reveal to us those areas. And finally, I pray that when we leave our time together today, we would be better because of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. So I love this story, but I remember taking a trip and I was with, we were with some friends and they had little kids and I remember it was a big theme park and it was the water park part. You know, it's like, so there's water everywhere, there's people, there. I mean, there's probably 10,000 people in this, it was monstrous. And I remember that we finally met back up with our friends and he looked around, he goes, "Hey, have you seen my youngest son?" I'm like, "No." And he's like, "We can't find him anywhere." Okay, so we're at a massive water park. There's thousands of people everywhere, and there's water. Now, with a young child, you're going, "Oh my, what are we?" You know, so there was this huge just push of trying to locate this child, just to set your heart at ease. We did find him, as he decided he didn't want to ride the rides that his parents were riding. He wanted to do his own thing. So, and I remember this, I mean, the security was involved. It was chaotic. But if we're being honest today, how many parents do we have in the house? How many parents? Got some parents in here? Have you ever had that moment when you're out somewhere and you think your child is right beside you and you turn around and they have slipped away and you're that panic that ensues? You're like going, "Oh, where's my child?" You know, I think most of us as parents have had a moment like that at least. You know, nowadays they have these really, have you ever seen the kids on leashes? Right? That's the most amazing thing ever. You know, I'm like going, "Wow." I'm thinking, "What's next? A shock collar?" It's like, "No, you don't." And just a thought. But anyway, no. I remember those days of, you know, of that moment of panic in your heart. You're like going, "What is going on?" And I read this passage, and we're reading about Joseph and Mary. These are like, this is saint material, you know? It's like, "Oh, wow." But yet, they lost Jesus. And you know, it's easy for us to look back and then go, "How could they lose Jesus?" Let me just give you a little context, because it is important. In those days, they didn't just travel. It wasn't just the three of them traveling to Jerusalem, right? No, it was a caravan of people going to that place. And the families, their extended family, all that stuff, people tended to travel together in this caravan. So just to give you some context, typically, it was probably that, you know, Joseph was with the men and Mary was with the women, and they assumed that Jesus would be with his friends, or maybe Mary and Joseph weren't together and they were in that, what I was just talking about. And perhaps Mary's going, "Well, I'm assuming that Jesus is with Joseph, and Joseph is assuming that Jesus is with Mary." And so, number one, give them a break. But number two, what a fascinating picture of our own lives. Because, you know, when we read Scripture, what we have to do is we take those Scriptures, those stories, the parables, all the things that God has given us in this, and we're supposed to overlay it on our own lives and say, "What does this mean for me?" So one of the things I picked out of this that I think was so important is, number one, is let's be honest. Joseph and Mary aren't the only ones who have forgotten Jesus. If we're being honest, there's been many times in our own lives that we've forgotten Jesus. You said, "No, pastor, nope, I'm a believer." Let me just take it a step further. It's about intimacy. And you'd say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? It's just like in a relationship. If you're not with that person, if you're not spending that time with that person, distance begins to grow. And inside that gap becomes all the things that life brings, the stress, the conflict, the challenges, you know, all the different twists and turns that life takes. And what happens is, if we're not careful, that gap gets wider and wider and wider. And soon, we become like Joseph and Mary in this situation, in that it's like we look around, and guess what? We don't know where Jesus is. So today, as we look at this, I want to remind you that this isn't just about Joseph and Mary. This is about us. Because the honest to God truth, and we all know this, that life, man, life is complex. And life is full. I don't know about your lives, but man, sometimes I'm amazed at how busy I get and how easy it is to forget the things that matter the most. You know, you can get so busy in life. And, you know, I've watched this. I've watched God bless people because of faithfulness. I've watched God just pour out blessing on them and expand their businesses and open doors because, you know what? When God did that, they were faithful and they were kingdom builders. And you're watching all this happen in their lives. You're going, man, that's great. I've also watched this happen, that God began to bless them and then they begin to get distant. They got too busy. They got so overwhelmed by everything happening in their life. And then all of a sudden, those blessings begin to dry up. What happened? What happened? The gap. When we begin to live in that gap, when we begin to not recognize the distance between us and God, or how long has it been since we've had that intimacy with Jesus that we need? You know, because what happens in our lives is this. You know, most of us in this room have received Jesus as our Savior. We've accepted Christ and we're believers. We're in it. You know, we're on a journey, right? We're discovering who we are. But what also happens is there's also some of us in this room that when we're not aware, we find ourselves doing things that we know we shouldn't do. We begin to see that the behaviors in our lives don't line up with what the Bible says a Christian's life should look like. We begin to find ourselves connected to people that, you know what, outside of evangelism and reaching them from Christ, we begin to discover that, you know what, this is not right. I'm just going to tell you something. If you are a single believer and you're not married, look, stop trying to evangelistically find a lost person and say, well, they're perfect for me. We're going to get them converted so that I can marry them. I'm just going to tell you, I want to help you avoid some of those issues. Find somebody that loves Jesus as much as you do, if not more, and then you're probably going to be all right. But the problem is we begin to live inside the gap, and when we live in that gap, instead of being honest with ourselves and evaluating our lives and being honest, what ends up happening is the gap, as I said before, gets wider and wider. And pretty soon we look up, and we don't know where Jesus is. Now you say, Pastor, I've never been so far that I don't know where Jesus is. And, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to stop making excuses for your failure to follow Jesus fully. And I get so tired of that. You know, I've been in ministry now for 25, 30 years, and, you know, and it's one of those things you just kind of like, well, Pastor, I've just gotten so busy. Pastor, I'm just, you know, it's like this happened and stuff. And I'm like going, okay, at some point, you know, you need a dad, you need a father figure in your life that just says, will you please stop making excuses for bad behavior? Yeah. Right? It's like, we just need to man up or woman up and say, you know what? I got issues in my life and it's time for me to deal with them. Because when you do, it changes things. It shifts things. So let me just give you a few thoughts because I know life can be crowded. And there's some lessons that we can learn. Your first key thought today is this. To reconnect with Jesus, you must first acknowledge that you've lost him. So many people don't even acknowledge. They don't want to look. They don't want to look at their own lives. They don't want to have that kind of awareness. Because if they do, then they got to deal with it. Can I tell you something? Just because you're not willing to look at it doesn't change that it's there. And because you're not willing to look at it, here's what happens. Your compromise gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The further you get away from that intimacy with God, that place where when you were first saved, you hungered for the Word of God. You wanted to be around other people who loved Jesus. You wanted to be at church. You wanted to be at Bible studies. You wanted to be at life groups. You wanted to be at these things. Why? Because you were passionate. It was important to you. But as life gets busier and things get normal and things start, you know, we begin to slack. We begin to take it for granted. In other words, we begin to forget what matters the most. Think about this. Mary and Joseph didn't know Jesus was gone for an entire day. An entire day. But wait a minute. Some of us in this room have lost Jesus for far more than just a day. Some of us in this room have lost Jesus for weeks, months, years. I dare say that some of the people that are watching today, maybe in this room, it's been decades since you've found Jesus. But the only way to combat the compromise in your life is to be honest and just deal with your stuff and remember what matters most. So when I look at this, I think it's kind of fascinating because, you know, as we look at this, I think it really comes down to some dangers that we have. The danger of assumption. The danger of assumption. You know, it's like when they were assuming that Jesus was here and Jesus was there. How many times in your life have you assumed that something was, but it was not? Well, let me give you an example just to clarify that. Well, they say this about me and they don't like me and da 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 da. And the truth is, they don't even know you. They don't even care about you. They don't. It's like, and we're so concerned because we make assumptions, right? I'm assuming that someone doesn't like me when the truth is, I don't know if they like me or not. Now, when you get my age, you know, you finally get to a place where I don't care if they like me. It does not bother me one bit. If you don't like me, it's totally cool with me because I'm going to heaven with or without you, but I want you to go with me. And it's not going to be about whether you like me or not. My goal is to say, look, no, my role is to speak truth and to say, here we go, guys. Let's make a difference in our own lives. Let's make a difference in the world. But assumptions will destroy us. Assumptions and distractions that keep us away. Can you imagine how distracted a caravan must be for Joseph and Mary? Walking through that with all the things, you just think, wow, that's all these distractions in life. Can I just tell you something? We need to be actively aware of the distractions and the things that are meant to pull you away from your walk with God. And you say, well, Pastor, I mean, I'm just waiting for the Lord to reveal that to me. Stop waiting on the Lord to reveal it to you and start being actively aware. Because what happens is if you go into something knowing, if we walk into this culture right now knowing that the enemy is trying to destroy and, let me use a great word, deconstruct your faith. Can I tell you something? When somebody comes up and say, hey, we're about deconstructing your faith, exit stage right. Because you don't need to deconstruct your faith. You need to discover your faith. And what I need you to see is you've got a culture in the world that's trying to destroy you, trying to pull you away from what God is trying to do in your life. And if we're not actively aware, because you know how the enemy is, right? He's pretty slick. He's pretty deceiving. And you know, the Bible and Peter says, 1 Peter tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion looking, seeking whom he may devour. So you say, what does that have to do with anything? We need to be aware of our condition. We need to be aware of the things in our lives so that we can realize, am I living in intimacy with God or am I living in the gap instead? And I think, in all transparency, we all find ourselves in the gap at times. But it's the wisdom of looking at your life and having people in your life. Let me tell you, I need people in my life that when I get out of line a little bit, they call it out. And guess what? It doesn't offend me. It doesn't offend me. See, once again, you want to talk about things that pull us away from who God's called us to be? Well, you know, it's a second key thought was stay alert and don't allow the stress of life to distract you from what matters most. One of the things that I have found that distract people from becoming everything that they were called to be in God and from that intimacy place is a spirit of offense. We live in a world that has lost its ever-loving mind. We want to be everything's offensive. Everything's offensive. What do you said you love Jesus out loud. That offends me. Right? You didn't refer to me as the pronoun that I choose. I'm offended. I don't care. Come on. Y'all get to a place where it's all ridiculous. Because I've been alive long enough, I'm going to get offended. I get that. There's going to be an opportunity for me to be offended. Can I tell you something? Most of you in the house, if I've not already offended you, I probably will in given some time. And you say, well, Pastor, that's not a good thing to say. No, it's just honest because we're humans. And here's the danger in our lives that will keep you from the intimacy with God and keep you in the gap is because when we have offense and we don't deal with it, it becomes a bitter root. And when a bitter root begins to burrow into the ground and get locked in, it brings all kinds of bad things into your life that you don't want, nor do you have to have. So offense becomes a distraction. And yet we live in this world that is so full of this. Distractions. There was a book I read once, and they're talking about the history. Excuse me. Thank you. There's a history of the word distraction. And it's absolutely fascinating because distraction was a form of torture. Think about that for a minute. A form of torture. That's where the word came from. And when you think about that word and it being torture, you're going, how does that even work? Well, the idea behind that goes much deeper. But what we can understand is that distraction was created and used by the enemy to pull you away from the very thing that gives you life. So distraction. We live in a world that's so full of distraction. You say, well, what do you mean when we talk about those distractions? What does that look like? Oh, man. Where do we start? Political unrest. Oh, let's go further. Let's see. Things that can distract us. 24-hour news cycles. Where they're just searching for stuff to destroy your confidence. Oh, let's go for social media. The constant access to where you used to have time when you would sit down, you know, as a believer and you had empty time. Maybe you would pray for somebody, or maybe you'd say, you know, I'm gonna read my Bible for a minute. Instead, you find yourself scrolling and scrolling of somebody, some idiot's thing. You know, it's like, what's the next dumb thing that I can see on here? You know, and trust me, there's plenty of dumb stuff, right? Distractions. Throughout life, they're all there. And then there are some distractions in life that are good things. You know, good things. It's like, you know, when God's blessing, we're seeing all these opportunities and all this, and all of a sudden we find ourselves pulling away instead of pushing in. Distractions. Distractions will keep us away from that intimacy with God. We've got to be very careful. And I want to make this statement. I didn't make it the first service, but I want to make it today. God didn't create you to live a distracted life. He created you to live a Holy Spirit-infused life, a life of discernment, a life of strength, a life of overcoming, a life that when the world stands up and says, we don't believe in biblical moral values and we don't believe in this, that we as believers stand up and say, no, I want you to understand, you're free to believe whatever you want. But what I'm going to tell you right now is the God that saved me, the Savior, Jesus, who I live for and has given me direction in my life, has given me His word as my guide, not anybody else's. So I'll stand on the moral truth that God gave me. And here's why I say this. Because we get distracted. Do you understand that the political environment that we live in is because the church got distracted? That's the perfect picture. You begin to say, you want to talk about living in the gap? The American church has lived in the gap. And the only way to take care of that is to restore the intimacy. And the only way to destroy the intimacy is to recognize that we've forgotten Jesus and we need to find him. We need to locate him. But I have good news. That good news is your third key thought in the final is this. Remember that you'll find Jesus just where you should expect him to be, right where you left him. This reminds me so much as we read this. It's funny because Mary and Joseph, in that verse 49, you know, it's like they're finally finding him after they've gone everywhere. Like, think about this for a minute. It's like they know Jesus is the Son of God, right? He was this birth, this miracle. Angels have spoken to them, right? And when they lose him, they're going everywhere they went, and apparently the last place they went was the temple. And that's where they find him. And then Jesus responds with, "Why are you seeking me? Didn't you know where I would be? Don't you understand that I'm about my Father's business?" And I look at that, and it seems like maybe a scathing remark. I don't think it was a scathing remark from Jesus. It was just a understanding. This is my formation. I am about my Father. And shouldn't that be us? But the interesting thing is that they should have known exactly where he would be. But instead, we were able to use their story. It's funny how God moves things and does things, because when we look at our own lives, we can discover this. Is that I've looked in all the wrong places. And the truth is, he's right where he's supposed to be. Let me give you one more example. Later on in Luke, the book of Luke, there's the story that we've all heard of called the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. I love this story because I 100% relate to it. I mean, how many prodigals do we have in the house? I mean, it's like, man, I came home and I'm like, I'm so grateful that Jesus loves prodigals. But I love this story because we find the prodigal in the pig pen, literally. He's looking at the food that he's giving the pigs. And he's thinking to himself, these pigs are living better than me. Now, let me take you back just a little bit. Here's what happens when we forget God, when we forget who our source is and forget our blessings. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. And here's what the word says. If you ever forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. You say, but I'm not bowing down to idols. I'm not doing that. Are you sure? Because if we look at the story of the prodigal wanted to live his life. He wanted to do his thing. He took the riches, he took the wealth that his father had had for him, and he took it onto himself just as God does. If you want to make a choice to squander what he's given you, you can. He's going to let you live with the decisions that you make. But the beautiful thing, here's the prodigal at the lowest place of his life. He's lost everything. And his only thought is, if I could just go back and be a servant in my father's house, I can at least live. And he makes a decision. He makes a decision in verse 20, and I love this, chapter 15, verse 20. And he says, and he arose and came to his father. So many of us want intimacy with God, but we never get up and go to him. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm so far away from God. I'm so far from that intimacy with God, I don't know the path back. I can fix that. You know what the Bible says about the father of the prodigal? There's two things. The first thing on the prodigal side, he knew where his father was. His father never changed. His father never went away. He knew, I've got to go to my father. His father never forgot him. He gets out. He arises and says, I got to deal with this. I'm going home. And as we see the picture of him moving home, coming home, we see the picture of the father. And in my mind, you see the father, he's got his arms open. He said, come home. And I could just see the boy with a lot of question in his mind. I'm not worthy of this. What's this going to be like? What is the, you don't talk about distractions? You don't talk about things that pull you away? He's like, I don't know. This is deep, and I've made some stupid things, and I know I've offended my father, and I went against him, and the gap, I've been living in the gap, and the gap has gotten wider and wider and wider, and how do I return? Just like this. Come. And so many of us in our lives, we don't want to come to Jesus with our inadequacies and our failures because we're not worthy. I agree with you. We're not. The prodigal son made some stupid choices. That's why I relate to him so well. But yet the father embraced him. And he didn't go home a servant. He went home a son. And today I want to tell you that if you're living in the gap, the intimacy that you desire, that you're built, is wired into you, the need, that intimacy is one decision away. It truly is. One decision, one moment of self-awareness. One moment when you can get your eyes off of everything else and get it squarely focused on Jesus. Because I can tell you right now, even in this moment, there are people that are so busy looking at their phones, they have no idea what I'm talking about. Isn't that right? Yeah. So the choice is, you choose to live in the gap. Do you want to live in the gap, or do you want intimacy with God? That's what it comes down to. And guys, it's the little choices. It's the little choice. Anybody can be distracted. Anybody. The choice is, what do we do when we're called out on it? And my hope for you is that this journey that we're going to discover with Jesus is a journey that helps you look at the things in your life that aren't right. Our priorities. That we've forgotten Jesus. But we're going to find him. And we know where he is. He hasn't gone anywhere. So as I close, I want you to hear this. This message is just not for those that are lost and far from God. This message is for the believer that has been pulled away from what you know is right. And let me tell you something. In the last few years, I've found myself praying very differently. I used to pray, and I still pray this. I would pray, God, send the lost, God. God, the lost, the hurting, the broken. God, that's what we're here for. And that is 100% right. There's also another thing. There's believers who, because of man's doctrines, because of the stress of the world, because of the challenge that they're facing, all these things, they've gotten pulled further and further away from a creator that loves them and has nothing but good in mind. I'm telling you, it's time for us to recognize that Jesus is saying, I got you. I've got you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes across this room? I only have a couple of questions for you today. And one of those questions is this. Are you living in that gap? Are you living far from where you used to be at one time? Maybe that story, that prodigal, connects because you recognize, man, I'm not far from that in my own life. It's the awareness that changes things, everybody. And you say, Pastor, I've been living in the gap. I need that intimacy. And just right where you're at, y'all know how I do this. I'm a visual prayer person. So you're here and you said, man, Pastor, that's me. I'm tired of the gap. I need intimacy with God. Would you pray for me? That you slip your hand up where you are so I'll know how to pray, because I'm believing that God is going to do this stuff, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. Yes, 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 sir. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Yep, yep. Yes, I see those. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yep. Thank you. You can place your hands back down. Now I'm going to ask you all in this house, if you can, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? And today, yes, we're closing and we're almost done. But the most important question we'll ever ask in this house is, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you living for God? In other words, I'm asking you this. Are you living with sin active in your life? Because if you are, you're in the right place to get things right. I don't believe any of this is by accident. As a matter of fact, I believe there's probably people here just now who are here, and you're at this place in life where you know you're far from God, but you feel this pulling, and you found yourself here. And it's not by accident. It's because God loves you so much that he placed you here to listen to this silly man on his platform try to tell you to stop living in the gap, that you need Jesus. And today it can change. You can change your entire destiny in one decision. So don't leave here without making it right. So I'm going to ask you in this room, would you just bow your head, close your eyes? Say, Pastor, that's me. I don't need to leave here without a decision. I need Jesus. I need to get right with God. If that's you, would you slip your hand up right where you are and say, that's me. I need it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I don't want to miss a single hand. Don't squander, like the prodigal, what God's given you. He's given you an opportunity. Is this that moment for you? Anybody else? Amen. You can place your hands back down. Everyone look at me for one last moment. You're not an accident. And you're not a mistake. You were created with purpose. You're created to do great things. Now the choice, you're making it. This is the greatest choice you can make. Now it's time to live it. And I want to say this. Just because you make mistakes does not remove you from being a child of God. Okay? We all fall. We all struggle. That's why we have each other. So do not let the enemy mess you up when you go out here and you have a bad thought. Well, why did I even do all that? Don't do that. That's the enemy. That's a lie. Salvation is a free gift from God. Growth is where we start growing into who God called us to be, to where you get so intimate. That's what we've been talking about. I could preach another message. I got to stop though. Where you're so intimate with God that those things that are wrong that you didn't even know were keeping you from that stuff, that he reveals it and you don't want it anymore. That's how good God is. So walk with him and watch what God will do. Now, I'll say this. You need to let somebody know about the decision that you're making today. That's how important it is. Why? Because even the Bible says when that seed was sown on the ground and the birds came to eat and devour it. Think about this. The enemy does not want you to leave here with the freedom that God's about to give you. He's already given it to you. Do you know that? Because the Bible says all you need to believe on me. That's what the Bible says. And we're about to say a prayer together, which is a continuation of that. That says, I'm going to be faithful to confess my sins. I'm doing this. And then he says, I'll be faithful to forgive you of all unrighteousness. It's beautiful. It's a process. So don't beat yourself up because you're not perfect. But don't justify bad behavior. That's the balance. And that's why we have each other. So you say, how do I do that? Let people walk with you. So let's do this. I want us to all bow our heads. around the room, and we're going to pray this prayer together as a family. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Make me new. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior right now. I repent of my sin and I turn away from my past. Today I am forgiven and I'm a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.